Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Logic, political talk, part of the growing conservative conversation. You can find this show, as you have, on Blog Talk Radio, but there's another way. You can find it also on Facebook, on a Facebook app, and it is a part of a group called the Conservative Conversation. And what you can do is you go to your Facebook page, and you go to the search engine, and just click in Newt Now, N-E-W-T, N-O-W is one word. And that will get you to the homepage where you have six shows there, including this one, but you also have Samuel Sanford's show. And you will also have Charlotte Dively's show. Now, her show is Pray USA. And then you'll have Mark Prasik's show. They are live video chats which are also piped through onto Blog Talk Radio and also through Ustream. So I recommend people both listening live, people in the chat, and who will listen to archive, I recommend checking the other people out who are also part of this conservative conversation that we have on a nightly basis. Now, one thing I like to do is to take callers, and also people, if they would like to join in the chat, they are welcome to do so. If they have any questions, comments, concerns on the topic of the evening, then they can go ahead and chime in. I know some people don't like to call and listen in, or have their voice listened to, I should say. And that's okay. That's why there's good that there's a chat aspect where people can put something in through chat. So, also, the way I'd like to start tonight is the title of this episode is Defeat Obama Groups Are Growing, what they Need to Know. Now, I was talking to someone today, or rather chatting with someone today on Facebook, and they made a comment that the social media, talk about the social media Facebook, is that on there are many Defeat Obama Groups which are growing, which I think is good. I am, for the defeat of Barack Obama in November. And so there are Republicans who are asking themselves, well, what can they do in help defeating Barack Obama? Okay. Now, one thing that we'll talk about tonight is how, in my opinion, that this needs to be done. And I'll give some historical references on why I think it should be this way as well. So, one of the things that has shown itself to be very successful in getting Republicans to win in the general election is, as you might not know, our brokered conventions. And actually, the opposite is true when there isn't a brokered convention. Now, Republican nominees who won the nomination on the first ballot, which some people are wanting to see now with Mitt Romney, or saying is going to happen with Mitt Romney, which, because I want Barack Obama to lose, I hope that is not the case, because history has showed out that those Republican nominees who won the first ballot and were not incumbents, they lost the general election. And, of course, we certainly don't want to lose, the Republicans certainly don't want to lose, the general election to Barack Obama. Nobody wants that. So if we're going to go by history and history being on our side, then that's something that I say that we should hope for, some people, pray for, wish for, work for, is a brokered convention, is because it just been, it shows that without one, it just spells, defeat for Obama. I mean, not for Obama, for the Republicans. And that goes all the way back. I mean, that proves out in, at the earliest, that happened in 1884, which I know seems very far away. But then it's also 1936, 1944, 1948, 1960, 1974, 1996, and 2008. So, if someone does not want to, repeat history, they need to learn from it. I mean, everyone out there has heard the phrase, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I think that's going to be the case here with Mitt Romney. Now, one of the people I have spoken to about this history, because, as being, Bard's Logic, I don't claim to be an expert at much. I am at some things, but no one can be an expert at everything. So, of course, I, talk to people who are experts in the field, and someone I talk to is Barbara Haney, and she is a PhD, she has a PhD in public policy, and she's very knowledgeable. And actually, if you want to go back to the archives, I have an interview, I've interviewed Barbara Haney on a broker convention, and I have a clip here I'd like to play for the audience for their listening enjoyment and informational purposes. And speaking of informational purposes, one of the goals of Bard's Logic Political Talk is to inform the public on things that they probably would not hear from the conservative, so-called conservative media, and especially, you know, such as Fox News, and I spell the F-A-U-X News, Rush Limbaugh, you know, Glenn Beck, of that nature. And they certainly would not, you know, hear about it from the mainstream media. So one of the things, as I said, is the goals of the show is to inform the public on such information that they might not get otherwise. And also one thing that I, you know, support and promote is for the electorate to go and do their own research when I'm talking about on the candidates, vetting candidates, because it's just been shown, especially for the conservatives, that the outlets that they've relied on for so many years have really let them down this election cycle. And I also, if you like, you know, can go back to the archives and listen to that show as well. We'll tell you where, you know, we'll explain more on how the conservative media has let us down, has let the conservatives down and the Republicans. And the way that they let us down is they propped up a, you know, they propped up a moderate, if not liberal, candidate to try to go up against Barack Obama, and that is problematic at best for many reasons, in which we will cover tonight. But because I went ahead, I'll say that go ahead and play it. This is actually a clip I've got from, you know, someone's show who they were also interviewing Barbara. So, and they have a long introduction, so you'll hear more about Barbara Haney, and then she will explain a little bit of the history of brokered conventions.
To our listening audience out there in Sumpter County and beyond, welcome to A Patriot's Voice for Freedom. We the Patriots want to thank you for tuning in to listen to WKFL 1170 AM Kickin' Country. We look forward to providing you with information on those issues we consider of vital and controversial importance, and invite you to join us in our dedication to fighting for the preservation of our country, our Constitution, and our freedom. We ask that you remember and pray for the men and women of the armed forces for their brave sacrifices they make to keep our nation safe from our enemies, both foreign and domestic. Today's show topic is on a subject that many of us are unaware of and many lack knowledge about. We hope to share with you information that will lead to a clearer understanding about what a brokered convention is, and if we do have one, just how it will affect us as American voters. A Patriot's Voice for Freedom is honored to have as our guest speaker today, Barbara Haney. And welcome, Barbara. And before we get started, I would like to introduce you to our Patriot panel. We have online Donna Arthur. Donna is from North Carolina. And Valerie Kelly Bass. Valerie is from Florida. Lamusha Ree. And she is from, where are you from?
Alabama.
I'm from Florida. Stacy Coleman. Stacy, you are from?
Louisa, Kentucky.
Barbara is a private citizen who lives in the woods of Alaska and is a conservative Facebook activist who was impressed by Speaker Gingrich's resume and debate performance. After the Virginia ballot, she worked to get Speaker Gingrich on the ballot in Alaska and went and got signatures to get him on the ballot during below 54 cold snap. This was during the Florida primary. She volunteered to work for her regional primary preference poll. She attended the district convention and was elected district chairman and delegate to the state convention. She attended the state convention and was elected as part of a slate to be one of Alaska's two delegates for Speaker Gingrich. In addition, she has exercised her citizenship assist in the defeat of Governor Tony Knowles, and later to assist in the election of Governor Sarah Palin. She worked on several state and local campaigns in the 2010 election cycle, including Governor Sean Parnell, Joe Miller, Stephen Thompson, and Mike Kelly. When there is not an election underway, she is busy putting in supplies for the winter, expressing her opinions to various political officials on pending legislation, promoting the ideas of free market capitalism, and generally being, in her own words, generally being a pain in the arse to liberals, D-I-R-T-S, all dirts and R-I-N-O's, rhinos. Welcome, Barbara.
Welcome,
hi,
Barbara.
I think I'm in the right place. Dirt is a Democrat. A dirt is a Democrat and a Republican ticket.
Bring on each of our panels to ask you questions later. But what I would like for you to do, if you could start us out, and in layman's terms, to make things very simple for those in our listening audience to understand more about a broker convention. I know I
sure.
know very little, and I am anxious to learn.
Okay. A broker convention is very simple. It's when they go to the convention, and on the first ballot, the nominee does not have the, quote, presumptive nominee, if there is one, doesn't have enough of a vote lead to be the nominee.
Okay, so on the Republican side, you're saying Mitt Romney.
Right. Well, he would be the presumptive nominee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes there isn't a presumptive nominee. In 1952, going into the convention, Eisenhower had 592 delegates, and Robert Taft had 500, just a little over 500 delegates. That was a dead heat going into that convention. So, you know, there wasn't really a presumptive nominee in the same way. But there's been many instances in history when we have had a, quote, presumptive nominee that blew it big. And starting in 1860, really in the very first Republican convention, you had a nominee who was presumptive nominee and technically speaking, had the delegates to pull it off on the first ballot. Though when he gave this horrendous speech on how wonderful Syria was, or so I keep looking for the text of the speech, and I have yet to find it. But in the accounts of the speech, I've read something about he was talking about how wonderful Syria was and a few other things, and it turned out that he was just not what people thought. And they were furious on the convention floor, and they just started back at anybody, became anybody but Seward. And you had this tall, kind of gawky, quiet guy named Abe Lincoln with a very questionable political past. I mean, he hadn't held a lot of offices. He was pretty quiet. He was kind of tall.
Sounds familiar
kinda,
to me.
Kind of dorky looking. And quiet, thoughtful. Didn't have a Harvard education. Didn't have a Princeton. No, Seward had a Princeton education. Abraham Lincoln was self-taught. He was homeschooled. Okay, very deep thinker. I actually spent some years living right down the road from the Lincoln cabin when I lived in Illinois. Rather austere circumstances, but nevertheless, he ended up being a pretty good president. And he was the dark horse candidate. I mean, nobody expected Abe Lincoln
dark
to come
horse?
Out. Pardon?
Dark horse candidate. What does that mean for our listening audience?
A dark horse candidate is like somebody you're not even remotely expecting. like, oh, he doesn't have a chance kind of candidate.
Okay.
You know, not very well known, et cetera, all that good stuff. I think there's a lot of fear about brokered conventions because of 1940. And actually, that is not your typical brokered convention at all. So I don't want to talk very much about it, but I can at the end. But if you go back and you look at the history of some of the brokered conventions besides 1860, Like, for example, if you take a look, in the 1800s, it seemed like almost every other convention was brokered. And so, I mean, there's this general fear about brokered conventions because, you know, you don't know who's going to come out, you don't know who's going to win, and, you know, it could dry up funding sources. But I think a brokered convention is a good thing. You know, in 1876, this guy named Rutherford B. Hayes, okay, he was another what they call a dark horse. He was the last place finisher, okay. This guy named James Blaine was the presumptive nominee. He goes to the convention, he's got the clear majority. There's a few others. There's Oliver Morton from Indiana. There's Benjamin Bristow from Kentucky. There's Roscoe Conkling. That old Roscoe Conkling was a nemesis, was the enemy, sworn enemy of Blaine. And he was not going to let Blaine have it. All right, there was contention between Roscoe Conkling and James Blaine that was infamous. Conkling was your standard New York Party boss, okay? And Blaine was former Speaker of the House. And a lot of people think that Blaine and Newt Gingrich are very similar, but actually, besides being Speaker of the House, they really are nothing alike. Blaine would actually, if you look at his policies, he's far more like Ron Paul than he ever would be like Speaker Gingrich. But nevertheless, they go in, they get in there, and it's just, boy, you know, the first ballot comes around, and Blaine doesn't have it. Nobody has it, really. Blaine has the biggest majority. But this poet named James Lowell had been really kind of taken with what Rutherford B. Hayes had talked about, and he started working the convention floor, and he got Conkling interested. He got some of those delegates interested. And at the end, on the seventh ballot, Hayes had it. Hayes got the nomination. And he went on to win the election. And,
wow, that is fantastic. Thank you for that information.
Okay, folks, and I want to bring up recent history about broker conventions. And Republican nominees who won the nomination on the first ballot and what people are looking for today, however, conventional wisdom would say that that's a good thing and that, you know, show support for the candidate. But however, if you look at history, those candidates, and they were not incumbents, they lost the general elections. And most recently, you've had John McCain in 2008, which, much like Romney, was a moderate. And also you had in 1996, you had, of course, and he was a moderate as well, was Bob Dole. You know, so history shows out that, you know, these kind of conventions, you know, are helpful. And if they don't happen, then historically the candidates have lost. Now, one thing I'd like to do, if they wish, is people in the chat, if they'd like to open up with any comments or questions, that's fine. I moderate them. If they have any questions, they can go ahead and put them in at the time with what they heard, or if they have any questions about the title. They can also call in. The call-in number is 347-945-7428. So that being said, while I'm waiting for, you know, someone to, you know, to call in, is, as I said, you know, in the beginning of the show, for those who missed it, is I indeed am, you know, want Obama to lose. But as a student of history, I look back at the history. Okay, I look at Romney's record, and putting them together, looking at some poll numbers, which I will share later, and I'm talking about not, you know, national poll numbers. I'm looking at state-by-state poll numbers and extrapolating those numbers and putting them towards the Electoral College count. And let me tell you, it does not look favorable to Romney. And actually, if the election was held today, Romney would lose. So if the Republicans want to beat Obama, and they do, and I do, then what can be done? What needs to be done in order to, you know, defeat Obama in November? Well, what I'm saying, what needs to be done in the defeat Obama in November, is to show public support, you know, of a broker convention. Now, I know there's a lot of people who are fearful of it, like you heard in the audio clip, And also, they're like, oh, well, you know, it'll be chaos. It'll destroy the party. It'll destroy the Republicans' chance of getting the nomination, which that's incorrect. And that's information that's been put out by, you know, the mainstream media, for one, and I'll do this down the line. That narrative is supported by the about a broker convention, is also supported by the mainstream media, because they want to run, they want Obama to run against Romney or vice versa, because Romney is the weakest candidate to possibly go up against Obama. Thus, you know, Obama has an even greater chance of winning in November. Okay, so that's why the mainstream media, you know, doesn't want, and will talk against a broker convention, the Romney campaign, for obvious reasons. And then you have your so-called conservative media, such as Fox News, and I spell that F-A-U-X News, because, you know, I think for conservatives, and, you know, they've pretty much did the conservatives a disservice this election cycle. And that's why I think, excuse me, is part and parcel for why Fox News's, you know, ratings have gone down between 17% and 20% since the coverage of the primaries. It's just the way that they did it. Now, the reason why they're not going to say much about, you know, I don't hear them saying much or posting much about a broker convention is because they're so, you know, with Romney, you know, they're so embedded with Romney now that, you know, they can't get out. I mean, they've got to pay the piper, you know, because they've been shilling for Romney for such a long time, and the bringing up a broker convention, you know, will just not fit their narrative. And they want, you know, they want a Romney as well, because, as I said, you know, they've been co-opted by the RNC and the GOP establishment. And what the establishment, as you've seen in the history, let me go back a minute. If you can see in the history, look at Bob Dole, look at McCain. The RNC, and they were put up by the establishment. And what else did the two go-to candidates in recent history that didn't go to a convention who lost, you know, our broker convention, and who lost, what else about them? Well, they were both moderates. They're both moderates, and I would even say for Romney, even more liberal, is that, and there hasn't been a moderate, as you've seen, a moderate or liberal Republican won a general election in over 40 years, and it goes back even farther than that. So, you know, that being said, you know, getting back to the broker convention, is that, it, you know, they did not have one. You know, you didn't see a broker convention with McCain. You didn't see that, you know, and the moderates and the establishment push them. And I think the moderates at this time, and their establishment, I should say, who are moderates, rhinos, is that they've been trying to, as you've seen in history, especially recent history with Dole, McCain, and now Romney, is that they've been trying to get a rhino moderate Republican in the White House for, as you've seen, decades now. And now they see their chance. But that can only bode negatively for conservatives. Because for the conservatives out there, they know that the RNC and the GOP establishment, okay, marginalized the conservatives in this election season. I mean, you even had so-called conservatives such as Marco Rubio, okay, endorsing a liberal to moderate to liberal candidate, which is Romney, while a true conservative, a proven conservative, such as Newt Gingrich, was still actively running in the race. Okay, so how is that being loyal to conservatism? It's not. That's why I contend that if Romney would indeed get the nomination, and he, you know, if he even picks Rubio, that's still not going to be enough to get the support of the conservatives, which, as people well know, the conservative party, no matter how bad the establishment and the rhinos want to marginalize them, is still the base of the party, the base of the Republican Party. And what happened, you know, just think of an elephant. Here's an illustration. Just think of an elephant. If you take the legs away, you know, think of the legs of an elephant being the base of the elephant, which you could equate to conservatives as the base of the Republican Party. Well, you remove the legs of an elephant, okay, by removing the conservatives from the Republican Party, that elephant's not going to go anywhere, is it? No, it's not. So by marginalizing the conservatives the way that the RNC has done, okay, is that they've pretty much taken their legs out from underneath them, and now they're trying to get it back. Well, if they truly want to beat Obama in November, then what they ought to do is they ought to support and open up for a brokered convention. Because, it can, you know, the conservatives, what, you know, once it's out about Romney, and it's getting there, they're not going to support him. I mean, Romney has such low, you know, support from the conservatives, you know, and of course you can have some talking heads, or you can have Rince Priebus out there saying, oh, well, conservatives united, you know, are against him, you know, are united for Romney. Well, that's not true. I mean, I had another person on Blog Talk Radio just bring up a couple weeks ago that he's seeing, you know, Newt Gingrich Blog Talk Radio show who's popping up. And it's indeed true, because they are. Okay? And it's not just about Newt Gingrich, it's also Ron Paul. You know, but it's still in anybody but Romney. There's not the enthusiasm for Romney. And without that enthusiasm, here's something Republicans can do. You know, let the RNC know that, hey, look, we're not satisfied. You need to open up the door for a brokered convention. Because if you don't, you know, historically it's going to show the lack of motivation is going to show, or some, you know, support. And there's conservatives saying, look, I'm not going to give Romney money. I'm not going to put boots on the ground. I'm not going to put out flyers. I'm not going to put things in my yard. We still have a chance for Republican victory to beat Obama, you know, in November. But it's not going to happen with Romney. History, and as I said, I look at history. History is against it. I'm looking at the polls, and I'll give those later. And this is to elect, you know, towards the electoral college count. I mean, Romney's behind in those. As I said, if the election was held today, Romney would lose. Romney would lose. And I'll touch that on later on this, you know, later on this evening, because I do have numbers on that. And I got it from a website. And what I will do is I will give the information, you know, on the website. You know, I'll give the link, and I'll put the link in the chat so people can go over and look at it with me. Because, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm here to tell the truth. I'm here to show the truth. And the truth is, you know, you go going by these numbers, you know, then if it was held today, Romney would lose. You know, just, you know, that's how it is. You know, as I said, I took the poll numbers that I got from this site, so this is the information. But there are polling organizations that you, when you see the name, if you do decide to go to the, you know, follow the link, that you will see that they are, you know, some polling places of some repute, you know, and so that's where I'm getting my numbers. And you can go and you can check it out yourself, and it, because it is an interactive map, you know, which I really enjoy. So, but, you know, we'll get to that at a later time. Okay. So there's so many reasons why, you know, for defeating Obama, okay, there's so many reasons why if people want to forget defeat Obama, what we need, you know, a brokered convention. History shows it out. History plays it out. Conservatives won't, you know, support Romney because he's a liberal. And one thing I like to do here is, you know, the reason I play the audio clips, this is kind of a long one. That's about 8 minutes. But what that does is it really illustrates, you know, because one of the things that, you know, a host does for show prep is, you know, you look at audio clips and articles, you know, and I share them, you know, with the audience, you know, both live listeners, people in the chat, and people listen to this in archive, because, you know, frankly, you know, you actually have to take the time to do the research, which we do promote on the show, is for people to do their own research. But, of course, you know, one of the things this show is to do is to provide those, you know, those resources. And one thing that I just got published today, it's still in working, you know, I'm still working on it, is I have a website for this, you know, for the site that I will be shortly, you know, putting into the chat for people to check out. And one of the page where it says get involved, I put on some video clips on some of the audio that you'll hear. Maybe not necessarily on this episode, but they've definitely been heard on other episodes. You know, so, you know, when I, you know, put it in the chat, you know, people can feel free to check out the website. So that being said, you know, one of the reasons why the conservatives are not getting behind. Oh, this is welcome host. Okay, well, someone's in the chat. So before I play that, I'd like to interact with them. So that's one of the things I like about, you know, Blog Talk Radio is not only can people call in, but as I said earlier in the show, that if people are uncomfortable being, you know, being heard over the phone, that they have this chat aspect where they can also be heard. So I'm going to, and I believe this person has been in the show, has come to one of the shows before, and so I'd like to welcome them again. And if they have any, you know, questions, comments, concerns, please go ahead and come in and you know, leave any questions, comments, concerns, like, and I will answer those the best I can. And thank you very much if you decide to do so. So I'll give a few moments for the new people who have come in to ask anything, and if not, I will continue on, in which, excuse me. Well, you might be in your PJs, Ross, I believe that's what the name is, but the thing, and you're not seen if you're on chat. Oh, good, comfy, that's important. So if you have any, you know, anything, any questions, comments, concerns about the topic, feel free. And it's a good thing you're comfy. Be comfortable. That's fine. And there's no webcam or anything associated to this, so, you know, no one's going to see you laying there comfy in your PJs. So anyway, so conservatives will not, you know, and this is going to be, for the independents who don't know, this kind of information is going to get out. It's been, and I really believe that it's better to get this information out about Romney before that gavel drops at the convention, because right now Romney is indeed the presumptive nominee, but he's not official. It's not official until that gavel drops at the convention. So this information that I'm putting out isn't information that the Obama campaign is not going to put out, because they will. But isn't it better for Romney to be vetted and for people to work towards a broker convention so we can get a candidate that can beat Obama, because that is our goal. That is our collective goal, is to beat Obama. You know, because if you know, Obama puts this information out, and they will, and then the independents see this and other conservatives who will just be just as, you know, perturbed about it, because then they'll see once again that they were pretty much lied to by the so-called conservative media, okay, that it's better to get it now so we can do something about it. That's what this is. That's what this show's about. What can we do? What can Republicans do, okay? What can these people in these defeat Obama groups do, okay, in order to defeat Obama, you know, see Obama defeat in November? So, oh, great, beer in hand. That's awesome. I wish I had a beer in hand too, Ross, but I do not. So sit back, relax, listen to some of the many reasons why people are not supporting Mitt Romney, and why a Barker convention is what not just the GOP, but I would even say America needs, so that we can get a real candidate, and for me, a conservative candidate, to beat Barack Obama. And much like Jimmy Carter was beaten by, you know, Ronald Reagan, by conservative Ronald Reagan, then we need someone like a Newt Gingrich or a Ron Paul even to, I mean, I'm a Newt Gingrich supporter, but, you know, if I had my pick between Ron Paul and Romney, I'd pick, Ron Paul. At least you know where Ron Paul's coming from, and you really don't know where Mitt Romney's coming from. And I think this is an illustration of that.
With regards to my views with regards to protecting a woman's right to choose, and I've been very clear on that. I will preserve and protect a woman's right to choose, and am devoted and dedicated to honoring my word in that regard. I will not change any provisions of Massachusetts's pro-choice laws. Now, I want the voters to know exactly where I'm going to stand as governor, and that is, I am not going to change our pro-choice laws in Massachusetts in any way. I will preserve them, I will protect them, I will enforce them, and therefore I'm not going to make any changes which would make it more difficult for a woman to make that choice herself.
Any response?
Mitt Romney isn't pro-choice, he's not anti-choice, he's multiple choice.
I believe that abortion should be safe and legal in this country. I have since the time that my mom took that position when she ran in 1970 as a U.S. Senate candidate. I believe that since Roe v. Wade has been the law for 20 years, that we should sustain and support it. And I sustain and support that law and the right of a woman to make that choice. Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan-Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan-Bush. My positions don't talk about things that you suggest they talk about. This isn't a political issue. I believe that public companies and federal agencies should be required to report in their annual 10K the number of minorities and women by income group within the company so we can identify where the glass ceiling is and break through it.
Do you believe that there should be a timetable in withdrawing the troops?
Well, there's no question but that the President and Prime Minister al-Maliki have to have a series of timetables and milestones that they speak about.
I believe the world is getting warmer. I can't prove that, but I believe, based on what I read, that the world is getting warmer. And number two, I believe that humans contribute to that. I don't know how much our contribution is to that, because I know there have been periods of greater heat and warmth in the past, but I believe that we contribute to that. And so I think it's important for us to reduce our emissions of pollutants and greenhouse gases that may well be significant contributors to the climate change and the global warming that you're seeing.
He's talking about a $750 billion economic stimulus package. He wants it to be passed as soon as possible. It's unclear whether it can be passed before he's inaugurated on January 20th. What do you think about this proposal?
Well, I frankly wish that the last Congress would have dealt with the stimulus issue and that the president could have signed that before leaving office. I think there is need for economic stimulus. Americans have lost about $11 trillion in net worth. That translates into about $400 billion a year less spending that they'll be doing, and that's net of additional government programs like Medicaid and unemployment insurance. And government can help make that up in a very difficult time, and that's one of the reasons why I think a stimulus program is needed.
Reaction now from former presidential candidate and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Tim Geithner's argument and Mr. Bernanke's argument has been, if we didn't do that then, we would have been in a free-fall meltdown. Do you agree with that?
Well, first of all, if the money's being paid back, which it is, we didn't waste a lot of money right then. That was an investment made to try and keep a collapse of our entire financial system from occurring. And I think that's the case. I think had President Bush and Secretary Paulson and Ben Bernanke not pushed for a TARP-type program, we were going to be in a free fall that would cause the collapse of not just a few banks in Wall Street, but banks all over the country, killing not only a few jobs, but all the jobs in this country. That's what we were facing, and the TARP program kept that from occurring. TARP got paid back, and it kept the financial system from collapsing.
So you feel it was well worth it?
Well, it was the right thing to do.
Would you agree with Thomas Jefferson that the strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves from tyranny in government?
I don't know that that's highly relevant today, but certainly that's a legal reason for being able to keep a firearm, and I believe that people ought to be able to have a firearm to protect themselves. I believe in the Second Amendment.
In that case, why did you vote in favor of the Brady Bill and the assault weapons ban?
I didn't actually vote.
I beg your pardon. Why did you support them? Yeah. You have come up publicly saying that you supported the assault weapons ban and the Brady Bill.
Yeah. And will you give the microphone back to the guy? How many more questions?
Yeah, my final question is, if you don't understand the intent of the Constitution, how can you be trusted to defend it? Who will defend it from you?
Okay, thank you. Let me answer the question. And that is that with regards to the assault weapon ban in Massachusetts, that we had come forward, which is an extension of the assault weapon ban.
We do have tough gun laws in Massachusetts. I support them. I won't chip away at them. I believe they help protect us and provide for our safety.
Let me bring you back once again to the question of immigration.
There's a lot of negotiation that's going to have to take place and give and take on issues of that nature. For me, the central issue is that people who are here illegally should be able to, it should not be prohibited, should be able to apply for permanent residency or citizenship. That should not be prohibited.
Governor Deval Patrick is asking the feds for $450 million to bail out Massachusetts universal health care now. They say they can't meet their expenses unless the feds, and that means people in Idaho, are paying for Bay Staters to get health care.
No,
is that wrong?
No, actually, from the very beginning, the plan was a 50-50 deal between the federal government and the state government.
Okay, so the feds fund half of it.
The feds fund half of it. They have from the very beginning.
In Massachusetts, since the health care has been signed into law, emergency rooms costs have risen 17% in the last 2 years. So the myth, and I think it's a myth, that this emergency thing will go down when you have Obamacare, it's not proven in Massachusetts. Emergency room things are up.
Well, I'll look at the emergency room numbers.
Okay, I'm not here to do a gotcha with you, but there's another stat that's fascinating as well. Massachusetts has the highest per capita health care costs in the union,
yeah,
in the nation.
And it did before the bill was passed, too.
But is it supposed to bring the cost down?
No.
What
the bill did.
You know me. I'm a simple man, okay?
Yeah,
you
right,
say you
right.
solved the problem in the state, but you're depending on 50% of your funding from the feds.
As we did from the beginning.
Okay, I don't know if you solved the problem or the people in Idaho solved
it. Health care costs in Massachusetts were high before the bill that got people insured, and they're high afterwards. They were the highest before, and they're the highest afterwards.
But it didn't bring them down.
No, it did not bring them down.
Right.
Analysts say RomneyCare is basically Obamacare minus the public option.
If the president drops the public option, will you come out and support him?
Well, it depends on what's in the rest of the bill.
Back in 2009, when we asked the former governor about that mandate, he defended it.
But it is a mandate.
It's a kind of mandate. It's a requirement. In order to get a tax exemption that you'd normally get, you got to have health insurance because we want everybody in the system. No more free riders.
Democrats already have clips like that queued up for 2012.
Although you've backed away from mandates on a national basis.
No, I like mandates. The mandates work.
I didn't know you were going to admit that.
Oh, absolutely.
You like mandates.
Let me tell you what kind of mandates I like, Fred, which is this.
If the ones you come up with.
I agree with Mitt Romney, who recently said he's proud of what he accomplished on health care in Massachusetts.
Okay, folks, so that gives me a question. I answered your question. Yes, Ross, ouch, is right. That begs the question. How is Mitt Romney different than Obama? You know, I've heard a lot of people today say, I'm voting against Obama. I don't care who the Republicans go up there. I'm going to vote against Obama. Well, is voting for Romney really voting against Obama? Because look at Romney's record. Is it any different? Look at what Romney says. Is it any different? How can voting for Romney be a vote against Obama? It's not. So what really is your vote? Romney and Romney being the nominee and then maybe even going on to be the president after hearing stuff like that? Is it really a defeat of Obama? Is Obama really defeated? The man, Obama is defeated. Yes, the man Barack Obama is defeated. But is his ideology defeated? Is it? Listen to what Romney's talked about. Listen to what Romney said. Okay? Words are important. So even if Obama the man is defeated, is Obama the ideology defeated? I think not. Especially from hearing things like that. Now, you know, I've heard the argument. Someone says, I got Jesus. That's good for you, Ross. So I don't know how that's – okay, thank you. Thank you, says Wolf. I don't know what that means, but, hey, you know. If he comes in, has some fun, is respectful to other people, that's fine. You're respectful to other people in the chat, then that's fine. If he wants to say Wolf, then that's fine with me. Anyway, thank you for coming to the show, and I'm glad you're having some fun tonight. Don't put any profanity. I'm glad you abbreviated it, and don't even allude to that if you could. I'd appreciate it. because I don't want any profanity in the chat or on the show. So thank you very much for refraining from doing that. Now, I'm going to get, you know, back to my point is, you know, I've heard the argument from many that, he was in Massachusetts. He was Massachusetts governor. Well, okay, yeah. So what does that tell me about his principles? Is he a principled man? Or is he just, you know, going if the wind blows? So let's say the Senate stays, you know, let's say the Senate stays liberal. Is he going to do liberal policies just so he can look like a quote-unquote winner that he's going along? I mean, he said he didn't like, you know, one of the things Mitt Romney has said, and I've got a clip if people want to hear it, because, hey, don't take my word for it. Take Romney's. He's the one who said it. Where he says, oh, I wouldn't do a contract with America. I wouldn't, you know, put out, you know, tell them things that we say we're going to do. Think about it. I'm not going to tell the American people what, you know, I'm not going to put down and tell the American people what we're going to do. Because he says that creates winners and losers, and we don't need that. Really? Does not creating winners and losers, does that sound like a conservative stance? I mean, that's kind of like, you know, on the ball field, you know, you've heard these stories of kids. I know I'm digressing, but I'll get back on point. Actually, this is on point. Is that, you know, you hear about these schools who won't allow dodgeball anymore, or they're not keeping score anymore in the sports because they're afraid of winners and losers. They don't want the kids to feel like there's winners and losers. That's life. There's winners and losers. And let me tell you, you want to be the winner. Of course you want to be the winner. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why the people who are, you know, are with me and doing what they're doing, because they want to be a winner. They want to win in November. They want to beat Obama in November. And I'm telling you, even if Romney was to win, the ideology of Obama will still win. And also, through history of broker conventions, proving that if they don't exist, that the Republicans lose in the general primary, it's history. It's not my opinion, it's history. You know, so, you know, I'm not spouting opinions here, I'm spouting history. You know, of what's been going on, you know, of what's going to happen. Okay, I'm just taking history, you know, history's on my side, where it shows broker conventions, you know, are the winning way for Republicans to win in November, to win the general election. And you're hearing so many people, oh, my gosh, there'd be so much chaos, and it would really look bad on the Republicans. No, it won't. Think of this strategy. Think of this tactic in which I bring up in the description of tonight's show. Sure, they're talking about Romney. Okay, let me back up a little bit. I think that, you know, I'll talk to that point later. You know, sure, you know, they're blasting on Romney. I think right now they're just doing it a little bit to, you know, keep the narrative. I think they're blasting on Romney to keep the narrative that he is indeed the nominee. Yes, he is a presumptive nominee, and I know that. I realize that. And I know the reality of that. Okay. However, you know, he's not official until that gavel drops, and I think a broker convention is the way to do it, you know, is the way to win, because history shows it out. The poll numbers that I will show later, you know, shows it out, you know. So, you know, but the reason you're seeing the attacks now is, of course, they want to feed into the narrative that he's the nominee, the official nominee, which he's not. However, once that gavel drops, the things you just heard on prepare for commercials such as the clips that you heard now about Romney. And there's another thing I may play later to illustrate what's going to come out about Romney as well. Okay? But if you were talking about what to do, if, you know, Republicans having victory in November, you know, a broker convention is the way to go. But the thing is, there's so many people afraid of it. They're afraid, oh, as I said, there can be so much chaos. So think of it this way. Okay? Let them go ahead and blast on Romney now. Okay, up until the convention, spending their money on, basically wasting their money on someone who's not going to be the nominee. Now, that only gives a couple months to prepare for the general election to get the word out. The Republicans and the conservatives have been getting their word out since the beginning of the primaries against Obama. So you're not going to have that you know, rushed, that sense of, oh my gosh, we got to get the word out. It's already out there. Romney, it might be getting better with conveying it, but what does that say? He's getting better at conveying it because he doesn't really feel it at his core. Okay, but hey, let the Democrats waste their money, spend it on Romney to the convention, okay, and then using their negative ads. But one thing that we all know, that negative ads, they are effective. You hear all the time, oh, well, you know, we don't like negative ads. But yet they're effective. They work. I mean, look at the way Romney used negative ads on his opponents. And isn't that something? Why does Romney got to be pushed to attack Obama? Why? He certainly didn't need to be pushed at all when he was going up against, you know, Newt or Ron Paul or Santorum. That was a no-holds-bar. No-holds-barred when he did that. But now he's going soft. Oh, well, Obama's a good guy. He's just misguided. I mean, really? I mean, yeah, of course, after people saying, you need to toughen up, you need to toughen up, he's trying to toughen up, but he's going to fail miserably. You know, because, you know, that's just not Romney. Romney isn't like that. So there you go. So that's also another reason why a brokered convention could be the path to victory in November, a path to beating Obama. And, you know, so, and also contend, after listening to the clip and hearing Romney, I mean, even if Obama is defeated, is Obama's, as I go back to that, is Obama's ideology defeated? I would say no. Look and listen to that. Okay? Now, speaking of the ideology, okay, because I said defeat Obama, and I mean it. We need to defeat Obama, okay? But if we defeat Obama and just replace Obama with someone like Romney, do we really win? If winning is important, if winning is the thing that's so very important, do we really win with having Romney in there when he's not much different? And then you hear people saying, oh, well, we'll just have to get a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate, and they'll push Romney to the right. Well, really? Why would we want a candidate that we got to push to the right? Why would conservatives, who are the base of the Republican Party, want to have a candidate that pushes to the right? That has to be pushed to the right. You want somebody that's got it at their core, correct? Oh, my gosh, and think of the debates. Could you imagine a Romney debate? Romney and Obama a debate? Are you kidding? What the heck are they going to debate about? Everything that they've agreed with in the past? No, Romney, he's been running for 6 years. He's trying to talk the talk of, hey, let's not look about what I've really done. Let's look about what I'm saying now that I'm running for the President of the United States. Okay, look what a person's done before that. Oh, now that he's changed, now he's an extreme conservative because he's running for the President? Yeah, you know, so... Someone says, imagine the brokers. I'm guessing they're talking about the broker convention. And if the gentleman in the chat would like to elaborate on that, I would appreciate it. So, but the people in the broker convention are the delegates. Those are the people that the fate of the nation, the fate of America is now in their hands. Is now in the delegates' hands, truly are. But also, writing to the RNC, writing to your committee chairpersons, but let it be known, some of those committee chairpersons of your state, committee chairwomen, committee chairmen, they're also delegates. So I would suggest write to them, tell them their displeasure. I mean, because they think that, oh, yeah, you know what, guys? Hey, you know what? Talking to all their behind-the-door, you know, moderate rhino Republicans establishment, hey, guys, we're going to do it to them again. We did it to them with Dole. We did it to McCain, but you know what? They're so afraid. They're so afraid of Obama. We're gonna get our moderate in. Now we can just go back and we can tell those conservatives, hey guys, we don't need you anymore. Okay, we were able to get a moderate in the White House. We don't need you anymore. Bye, conservatives. They haven't liked and wanted to marginalize conservatives, you know, since Ronald Reagan and beyond. We know that. We know that. Now the establishment is seeing the rhinos are seeing their opportunity to get someone. And people start saying, oh, my gosh, we're getting so close to a one-party system. We're getting so close to a one-party system. Yeah. And Romney's going to make it worse. And that's really – I mean, victory. Is that victory? Is that real victory? We We know Romney's record. Oh, well, he's in Massachusetts. Did that speak on the principles of the man? Look at Newt Gingrich. He had a Democrat president. Okay. Look at the House and the Senate during Newt's time. Did he cave? Look what he's done. Do you say that the things Newt Gingrich got done, would you say those were liberal or would you say those were conservative? I think the people know that. Imagine Ted Nugent. Okay, that's kind of off the cuff, but that's okay. Okay, I'll be honest. You know, I'm not a big Ted Nugent kind of guy. That's okay. People who are, you know, it's America. If you want to talk about Ted Nugent, Raj, you go ahead and tell me more, because I'm not really that up on Ted Nugent. I mean, tell me some more. I keep thinking of somebody else, but maybe it's the person I'm thinking about when he says Ted Nugent. I'm not getting it, but anyway, I digress. If you want to put more in there, that's fine. Good bumper. Okay. Okay. That's okay. I don't know what else to say about that. You're trying to throw me off. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's always good to have a good. It's always good to have a good laugh. You know what? Speaking of a good laugh, I'm gonna play a clip here. It's only a minute, but it's hilarious. But I actually think this really is hopefully I can find it real quick. I think this is really what an illustration of what I talked about earlier about a let me find it. About a debate between Romney and Obama. Oh, here it is. It's great. It's hilarious. I do have someone calling in. I'll let them in shortly. But I want to play this clip, and it's quite funny. So here you go.
Mr. President, just how different are you from Governor Romney?
Now, let me be clear. I agreed with Governor Romney on many things. For instance, abortion. He was pro-choice most of his adult life. So was I. But he changed his position when he became presidential candidate Romney.
Hold on.
Now, let's take guns. Now, Governor Romney and I, we were in complete agreement on gun control. Now, that is, until he changed his mind.
But I...
And on health care, well... I was so inspired by Romneycare that I nationalized it and called it Obamacare.
Whoa.
But now presidential candidate Romney is against the individual mandate and universal health care. I agreed with Governor Romney on many things, but this presidential candidate Romney, I don't even know the guy. Then again, he doesn't seem to know himself.
Oh, come on.
Governor Romney? Video Future is responsible for the content of this message.
Okay, I get it. I love to play it because sometimes, you need comedy relief. But that is absolutely hilarious. But it's so, it's true. But it's one of the reasons it's hilarious because it's true. Now, I believe I have someone on hold on the switchboard who's looking to come in. And I believe, by the area code, I know who it is. I believe it's Kevin from California. I'd like to thank Kevin. He was instrumental in getting Judson Phillips from the Tea Party Nation onto this show a couple of weeks ago. So I believe I'll be welcoming in Kevin. Is that you, Kevin?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. How are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. Just listening to that humor clip. As humorous as it is, it's, pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, you got to look at a guy's record and, we want to beat Obama. I know you want Obama beaten because, we've talked about it, when you've been called in on other shows.
Is that even a question?
No, not at all.
To establishment idiots, it is a question because they say that if we don't vote for Romney, it's a vote for Obama. No.
Yeah, I get accused of that myself.
To let the establishment know, don't take me for granted. I ain't falling in line.
There you go. That's a very good way of putting it. And I think the conservatives have been taken for granted for long enough. And we want a victory. We're not for Obama. We want Obama to lose. But we see that it can't be. We've seen for many reasons why Romney's not it.
Nope.
Not it at all. Well, I think I'll take this opportunity. Is I was talking about this map I've got here, and if this computer will unfreeze, there we go. Now, what I did is I'll put in the chat here, I'll put a link to it, and actually I don't know if I should, but I will, because I've actually had someone use this as well, so that's okay. But here it is. So people, I want to be, you know, try show transparency. And are you just in the call, or are you actually in the chat as well, Kevin?
I'm just on the call. I'm just on the
call. Well, I'll talk it through as well, you know.
Okay.
So what I did is I went to www.270towin.com, and they have an interactive electoral college map. And what it is, I extrapolated the numbers from this, and whoever basically was winning in that state, including the ones that were close calls, I gave them to each person's state. So if a state, you know, if Romney was higher in one state, then I gave the state to Romney. If Obama was higher in another state, I gave the state to, you know, to him. So, to Obama, I'm just kidding. So where it came out is Obama, if the election was held today, Obama would have 328 Electoral College votes to Romney's 210. And as polls are now, Romney loses both Florida and Ohio. And I'm just going by the polls. And I mentioned earlier that where I got the polls from this website where they've got it, is here are some of the people, you know, the polls, that some of the numbers they got their polls from, right? And they're averaging. Their average polls. I always have a hard time pronouncing this. Quinnipiac, Project New America,
yeah.
Rasmussen, you know, NBC News, Verist polls, you know. I mean, these are where these guys are getting the polls, so I'm not just getting it from a place that, you guys haven't heard of. You know, Public Policy Poll, you know, the Simon Institute, Vanderbilt University, you know. So, you know, these aren't just polls, you know, that you haven't heard of. So I extrapolated the numbers from these polls and put this together, and Romney loses by far. Now, people are like, oh, well, it's still early. Yeah, indeed. Okay, but let's go over some of these numbers. Okay? We'll go over some of these numbers. Now, Virginia's pretty close. That's 44-44. And so is North Carolina and Colorado. You know, Ohio's close. South Carolina is close. Michigan and New Hampshire is close. So, you know, you've got some. Pennsylvania's even close, but if we look at history, Pennsylvania, it never goes towards Republican. How many nights on a election night, you know, have we sat on the edge of our seat waiting for Pennsylvania to come in thinking, oh, my gosh, can, you know, the Republicans get Pennsylvania, and they don't. You know, I mean, I'd like to see them get it, but, you know, there's no. I mean, so there is some room, but here, let me go through these numbers here, and these are averages. It's a dead heat in Virginia. Dead heat in Virginia. And then there's only one point. Here's the thing. Think about this, folks. North Carolina, which, let me play with this map a little bit. North Carolina, okay, which is close, it's close and is normally a red state. It's normally a red state, North Carolina is. But North Carolina is within one percentage point. And it's and historically a red case state. In 2008, Obama got it. But it's close now. And that's North Carolina. Now, we also have Colorado is close. So let's take a peek at Colorado. Colorado is also a state that historically, and I'm going from 1972 to 2008, are historically Republican, but it's close for Obama, you know, between, and but Obama, you know, it's actually Obama on top by 1%. Ohio, well, that always flip-flops, so that's why when, you know, Samuel Sanford says, oh, well, the great state of Ohio, I say, oh, the once great state of Ohio, because it went for Obama in 2008, and it went for Romney in 2012, so I say the once great state of Ohio, you know. And then you have South Carolina. South Carolina. Does South Carolina, let's see. I think South Carolina is usually a red, a blue. Yeah, South Carolina. The Republicans took. McCain took South Carolina in 2008. And through the polls today, South Carolina is within points. You know, it's within, and these are average. It's within, let's see, 3 percentage points in South Carolina.
Let me tell you on that one, okay? If Newt Gingrich is the nominee, he'd be crushing Obama in South Carolina. He won a record turnout.
Of course he would. Of course he would.
He won that state in record turnout. Won, what was it, 44 out of 45 counties or something? 43 out of 45 counties there? I mean, he blew away.
Right.
I mean, and historically speaking, South Carolina, I think you and I talked about it, was the state that whoever won usually became the nominee of the party.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not an emotional guy for the most part, but when Newt won that state, I was jumping up and down. You know what I mean? I was jumping up and down happy when Newt won that one. I mean, I normally don't have that kind of emotional reaction to anything, but there, because I mean, and I'm going to digress just for a few moments is to say the reason why I think Newt Gingrich I'm a Newt Gingrich supporter. But even a Ron Paul or Rick Santorum, you know, a broker convention is important because I want to get rid of Obama. Romney's not, I mean, I'm just showing the numbers now. Romney, you know, is not going to do it. It's just not going to happen, you know. And people want to say that, oh, well, you're for Obama, you want Obama to win. No, we don't. But as I played that clip before, maybe you didn't hear all that clip, is that, you know, let's say Obama wins. I played a clip earlier that showed how close an ideology Mitt Romney is to Obama. But let's say Romney wins. Yeah, Obama lost. Yes, Obama the man lost. But when having a Romney come in to replace him is the ideology didn't lose. The man changed, the person changed, but the ideology is pretty much the same. You know, big government, you know, or big business. Either one, they want to make the president the king, the politicians the, you know, the oligarchy, and us the serfs. You know, that's why they fear Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich would, you know, wipe all that. You know, he was a candidate for the people. But go ahead, I don't want to. I'm going off on
go
a
ahead.
Here, Kevin.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know,
I'm just listening.
Okay, you know, so you know the numbers aren't there. It's time to get behind Romney. Why would I want to get behind Romney when one? Once he's vetted, especially by after the convention and a lot of stuff, and I might play a clip about his possible Medicare fraud that he's, you know, people have been asking about. Okay, and that's not—I mean, it's not directly to what you've been hearing lately in the media about Bain Capital, but there's also some thoughts about that. I mean, the man says, "Oh, well, I'm pro-life," but yet he goes to a fundraiser from the people who manufacture the day after pill. Okay. But he's an extreme conservative. He's pro-life, but yet he goes to the person who, you know, the CEO, I believe, you know, for a fundraiser, $50,000 plate. Now I'll give him this. Maybe he didn't know that day that he went, but he should know now. And if he had any decency or was truly pro-life or against abortion, then, you know, I'd be like, you know what, guys, this money for me is like blood money. It's tainted money. Here, take it back. You know, that's how I feel about it. You know.
Well, it's like Dick Morris said before, you know, the best unifier in the Republican Party has to offer is Barack Obama. So if that's the case with his own words, what's wrong with the broker convention? If Barack Obama is the best unifier for the Republican Party, what's wrong with having a broker convention where the people choose a nominee? There's no problem with it.
Right, because the job of the – see, people are like, oh, well, the delegates, they're supposed to represent, you know. Well, here's the thing. The job of the delegates – is actually not so much to represent the people who voted. Their job is actually to pick the best candidate to beat the opponent. That's their job. That's their duty. And I've got a clip that I can play for people about the delegates actually being unbound. Okay, you don't necessarily have to take my word for it. As I said, you know, one thing the show promotes is for people to do their own research. And part of the website that I've actually just launched today, one of the pages is where it says get involved, you know, I have some videos on there where people can see, and I'll update, you know, I'm going to update the site once a week, you know, and I'll have different videos on there, and I'll have, you know, it's the update for the guests who come on the show. I can, you know, if I can, you know, promote them and things of that nature. But it still has some tweaking to do, but I did publish the website for Bard's, you know, Bard's Logic Political Talk, and later on I'll, you know, put that in the website, I mean in the chat, for people to check it out if they'd like. So, but you know, as I said, it's still, I still have some work to do on it, but you know, I want to get it launched, because you know, I want, it's for, to spur people to do some research on their own about the candidates. So go ahead, Kevin. I didn't want to interrupt you if any more you want to chime in on.
No, I like I said, I'm just listening. I'm more in a listening mood today than I'm in a talking mood. So
no problem.
I've had too many debates with a bunch of Batman killers today.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, here's the thing. My wife brought that up today, and you know, that's a lot of negativity. And you know, there's definitely going to be a gun debate on that. But if you want to touch on that, go ahead. You know, but
no. I mean, you know, and you can honestly connect that with what's going on in politics today, and you can, you know, ask what are Romney and Obama's stances on gun control. You know, and they're both pro gun control. You know, so it perfectly ties in if you think about it. You know, with Romney and Obama and this incident right here. You know, with the matter of guns, what would they do?
And people kill people. Guns don't kill people. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
So,
criminals kill. Guns don't kill.
Well, and then you see Newt Gingrich had the, not the debate, but it was a discussion with.
Perfect answer with Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, it was with Jesse Jackson, right.
Oh, it was a perfect answer.
Well,
I mean,
and it was obvious it was 3-1 in that.
Oh, yeah, he shut them all up.
Yeah.
And that was the best part of it.
Yeah, well, you know, and then Jesse Jackson was, you know, trying to bring up, you know, all other kind of stuff, you know, different issues that wasn't, you know, truly relevant to, you know, to the point, you know, they're making at that time. He's kind of, you know, he digressed, which I know I have a tendency to do that. But
well, I mean, as soon as Newt, you know, put him in his spot, he had no choice but to digress. You know, it's like, he sounded like he was beaten already. So, I mean, Newt Gingrich laid it out to him, you know, because Wolf Blitzer tried to push him on it, too. It's like Newt said, no, justice needs to be served right away. We need to show the people that we're not going to tolerate this kind of stuff. Right away, execution.
Right, and you know, and I know one of the things that people have been hearing a lot about, and I'd like to get some updates on it if you have any, is the Fast and Furious. I mean that's another reason why we want to get a bomb out of there. I mean he's doing stuff like Fast and Furious, and if you compare that with what Romney might have done with Medicaid. You know, I mean, you're looking at the principles of these people. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just to replace one with the other. I mean, that's why I think a broker convention now, you know, a broker convention is so important. You know, I mean, so and people ask me, they're like, well, you know, what are you going to do if Romney does get the nomination? What are you going to do about that? You're going to support Obama? Well, no, I'm not going to support Obama. Okay, I'm not going to support Romney. You know, I mean, the only way I would support a Mitt Romney ticket is if Newt Gingrich was on it. That's the only way that's going to happen, folks. You know, but what I would do is I would concentrate my efforts not on the general election. And let me make this clear. If someone out there feels in their heart of hearts and by their conscience that they have to vote for Romney, you know, in the general election, that's on you. This is America. That is your right as an American to do that. I don't agree with it for multiple reasons, but I respect the people who make that decision. You know, they have their own minds on why they make it. I respect that. All I ask is that they respect me in return for my decision, what I plan to do. And what I plan to do is, you know, if Newt's not somewhere on that ticket, I'll probably – I mean, I can't say for sure, but I probably won't focus as much on the presidential election as I will on – you know, yeah, there will on, like, you know, state and Senate and things of that nature. You know what I mean? So, and other issues. So, but you know, get ahead. Well, what about after the convention? Well, I'm one of those, let's focus on this now, than going off, you know, on trying to figure out what we're going to do next, because this is important for the reason that, you know, that I said earlier, you know, on why we need to do this. Why, if we want a victory, you know, why we want to, if we want a victory in November against Barack Obama and defeat him, what can we do? Well, what can we do is support. This is my opinion. If anyone has a differing opinion and they would like to chime in for the reasons why, please do so in chat. Or you could do it in the call-in number, which, let me bring this up here. It's 347-94. I should have this memorized. I do, but. But it's 347-945-7428. Okay? So there we go. And while I'm thinking about it, now, as I said, my site still has some work to do. Still has some work to do on it. But I would like to share this with the people in chat. So if you're in there, go ahead and check the site out. So if you know, if you like it, and one of the parts I like to point to right now is the get involved part, and it has some views and videos that you hear on the show. I don't think I have any that you heard tonight on here, but they've been chosen in the past. However, if you'd like to check out my archives, you could see them in there as well or listen to them. But also, you know, the purpose of, you know, the show is to inform public information that they, as I said earlier, probably would not get from the mainstream media, the so-called conservative media. So check it out. You know, it has a video on it and get some information, you know, maybe how to contact the RNC for one, which I think is very important. And that's one of the things I think Republicans can do to help defeat Obama. It's called get a hold of the RNC. And while I got people out there, you know, it's you can either write them, you know, to the Republican National Committee at 310 First Street, SE, of course, that's Washington, D.C., 20003, or you can call them at 202-683-8500. Now, I've got also a clip about, let's see in here. It looks like, let's see, information about Medicare, and then I have a reality check. And then I also have something about, a couple things about Newt Gingrich. One of, about Newt Gingrich being an environmentalist, and yes, he is. And then, you know, a couple other clips. One is you hear the opening song, which I have on there so people could see the video, because I really love the video that goes along with that audio that you hear. So go ahead and check it out. And also, as I said, if you have any questions tonight, feel free. If you don't want to call in because you don't like to be on hold, or not on hold, well, that too, on hold, or people hear, you know, hear your voice or whatever. Of course, that's one thing I like about Blog Talk Radio. You can find it in the, you can go in the chat. So, and also while I'm looking at the website and think about it, there's also about the show page. And at the bottom, you can find a link to the Conservative Conversation, in which I am a group of, in which you will find multiple other shows, including Samuel Sanford's show, which is on from 10 p.m. to midnight, and then also Mark Preissig, which is a live video chat, which is really interesting to see. It's also piped in from midnight to 12 to Blog Talk Radio and Ustream, so it's pretty neat. So check that out, but you can also find a link to that.
One week ago, Reality Check told you about one reason why the Republican presidential nomination is far from locked up. But at least one blogger says Ben got it wrong. Did he? The answer in a Reality Check, reply all.
The issue at hand, our Reality Check on Rule 38 of the Republican National Convention rules. As I told you last week, way down at the end of the RNC rules is rule number 38. That rule consists of only one sentence. No delegate or alternate delegate shall be bound by any attempt of any state or congressional district to impose the unit rule. So what is the unit rule? Well, that rule requires that all delegates from one state or congressional district are required or bound to vote as a unit. After that story aired, a blog post titled "Urgent: Ben Swan and Matt Larson are wrong about Rule 38 and delegates being unbound based on RNC rules." Now, the author here does a good job of raising some very valid points at the heart of his argument. The states get around this rule by not binding the entire group of delegates. They always have at least one delegate unbound, and it's usually three unbound delegates. So they are not enforcing a unit rule in any way. Therefore, Rule 38 does not apply to the argument. And that is true. For instance, in Ohio, we have 66 delegates, and they are bound delegates. But of those 66, there are three RNC delegates who have the freedom to vote however they choose. Therefore, the blogger correctly states that this allows the RNC to get around the unit rule. But the blogger may not be entirely correct. I stand by our argument that it very well may be that none of the delegates, when they reach the Republican National Convention, are actually bound. And it isn't just our theory. An extensive article at fairvote.org has taken a very close look at this issue. And the truly important issue is this. The author states that the RNC rules provision on the unit rule make it clear that delegates are not bound to vote according to how most delegates from their state are voting. They go on to say, delegates can vote according to their own judgment and conscience. So, what is all of this based on? Actually, it's not our interpretation of the RNC rules or fairvote.org's interpretation. It is the interpretation of the RNC legal counsel. In 2008, this issue came up. It was actually in Utah, where a delegate did not want to join with the rest of the state and vote for John McCain, and instead demanded that his vote be cast for Mitt Romney. McCain won Utah with 62% of the vote in 2008. But here's the most important part. In that delegate's fight to cast a dissenting vote was this statement over the specific issue. Jennifer Sheehan, legal counsel for the RNC, plainly stated in a letter to Nancy Lord, Utah National Committee woman, several weeks before the convention, the RNC does not recognize a state's binding of national delegates, but considers each delegate a free agent who can vote for whoever they choose. And the National Convention allows delegates to vote for the individual of their choice, regardless of whether the person's name is officially placed into nomination or not. And that statement is about as clear as it gets. The delegate process was actually designed to entrust a group of voters with the power to override the popular vote in each state in order to ensure that the best candidate is chosen. Now, keep in mind, the Republican and the Democratic parties are not government agencies. They're private organizations, more like clubs. So voting within a party is not bound by election law. And that's what you need to know. The national media isn't telling you something very important. This past weekend, Congressman Ron Paul swept the delegates in two states, in Nevada and in Maine. At this point, all the delegate momentum appears to be on his side. So, much of what we've been telling you for months has now finally been mentioned by several national outlets. Bloomberg Business, U.S. News & World Report, even radio host Mark Levin this week have finally started to hint at the idea that, well, maybe Tampa isn't going to be inevitable after all. Stay tuned. And that is Reality Check.
If you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. You can find it by searching Ben Swan, WX.
Okay, folks, and I believe that you can hear that, or see, rather, I believe you can see that clip on the website. So go ahead and check it out. So, Kevin, were you able to come back on, or you had some technical difficulties there for a second?
Something happened right there. Something kicked me off there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, what happens is, see, in the sense of transparency, what happens is, as you well know, is that even the host has to call into Blog Talk Radio because it is web-based. So, and I don't go through a microphone, I go through my show. Well, on my cell phone, if someone tries to call in, then sometimes my phone has the annoying habit of hanging up on me for the previous caller. But I guess it deems that the other person was just so much more important than the person I'm previously calling. So, that's what happened is, you know, beep or whatever. So I apologize to you and I apologize to the audience for that technical difficulty. And that's why I played that clip, which I thought was relevant to what we're talking about tonight, as well as I believe that you can find that clip on the website as well. Oh, I'll have to watch that. It's been a couple of nights since I've done it. And when I was working on it, I worked on it one night till like 7 o'clock in the morning. And then last night I worked on it till about 6 this morning. So in the past 2 days I've gotten maybe 7 hours sleep. Past 2 days, I don't know. But so I finally got it but done. It still has a little bit more work to do, and I'll definitely update it because when I have guests on the show, and I do have a guest I'm talking to tomorrow, is Arlen Williams from Gulag Bound, and we're going to discuss tomorrow about him coming in again on Thursday to discuss Agenda 21 and changing the environmental paradigm of environmental protection, conservation, and sustainability from the top-down governmental approach to a grassroots, bottoms-up approach towards environmental protection, conservation, and sustainability. But that's looking at Thursday's show. I'm actually, as I said, supposed to talk to Arlen tomorrow, see if he's going to be able to get away. Now, Arlen Williams is one of the founders of something that's probably familiar to the listeners, is Gulag Bound. And on the website, if he does indeed come in, I will put a link to his blog there on the website that you'll be able to find. So also, just go ahead and check it out. I put a link in the chat. I think you can also send me an email about what you think of the website, what you think of the show. If it's negative, I'll just ignore you. No, I'm just kidding. I'll take those comments too. But but I'll leave that in that aspect. So I appreciate anyone who checks that out. So, Kevin, is there anything? I don't want to keep bloviating here, I guess, or whatever, but if there's anything you'd like to chime in about, feel free.
I was just going to say one thing, actually. Have you read that Huffington Post article that has been going around the internet saying that Romney will not actually be the nominee of this party?
You know, Kevin, I have to say, unfortunately, I have not. But if you, I know you have my email, or hey, you know what, there's a great test for me, if you would be so kind, Kevin, is if you
sure.
can go to the website, let's see if I can, it's kind of a long website address, so to say it over the phone, kind of, is there a way you can get into the chat tonight?
Send it to my Facebook.
My
Facebook.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'll send it to your Facebook. I'll do that after the show. And how about as a good test, you can email, the contact page, and you just put your name, your email address, and the subject, and then there's a body of it. And then if you could just give me that link to that article, I'd be happy to maybe even read it tomorrow night. And,
sure.
You know, and we'll definitely look into that because I think it's relevant, of course, to what we're talking about. It'll be good to hear.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Because, I mean, you know, the more people that say he's not going to be the nominee, the more momentum it can be in Tampa that, you know, we can get somebody like a Newt Gingrich as the nominee of this party, which we want. Somebody
right.
who can actually
and
go up against
need.
Obama and
I mean,
beat him.
Right, Kevin. It's what we need. I think, and I'm not talking to the GOP. It's just for the GOP. I really think, or I believe in my heart of hearts that, you know, we need a candidate other than Romney. I mean, why do you think there was such a resistance to Romney in the prime? Now, towards the end, of course, they're showing all these huge, which I think they were inflated by, you know, by many means. To say, but now he's got all the support. You know, I mean, towards the end, I mean, once, you know, Newt suspended his campaign and pretty much, you know, after that, I think it was just a debacle. I think the primaries were just a debacle after that. I mean, look at the low voter turnout when people thought, it's Romney. Do you really think that these people are going to come out, you know, be boots on the ground and put signs in the yard and spend the hours and hours of volunteer work and hours on the phone, you know, supporting somebody that, frankly, they can't stand? You know, here's the thing. If support for Romney, especially for the conservatives, was so great, you know, according to, you know, to Rince Priebus, then why such low voter turnout? Why? You know, so we want Obama to lose. you know, I can't state that strongly enough. But Romney's not it, and we really need to get out to the people. Look, it's not. It's not Romney. I mean, I just read the polls to you tonight. You know, yeah, they're just now, but I mean, oh, well, they're so months away. But yeah, look at the poll numbers, and this is before the Obama campaign and the media really start hammering him. I mean, really start hammering him. what do you think they're going to do for that? What do you think that's going to happen after that? You know, when they really start hammering the guy.
They're going to bring up Mormonism.
Well, that could very well be. They could very well try to use that. You know, but here's the thing. Yeah, they'll use that as well. And of course, you know, Romney. I mean, you know, just and I'm not saying that now. Don't get me wrong. What the price is? I'm not saying that I think Obama is a Muslim. I think there's a possibility that he could be a Muslim. I think there's a possibility of that. I think, you know, what's more probable is that while not a Muslim, he definitely has strong Islamic sympathies to Muslim. You know. So, but I mean, that discussion could be, you know, that could be discussed and debated, you know, at another time. You know, if anyone in the chat would like to call in about that, that's fine as well.
But Romney's so weak that even if they bring up his Mormonism, he's already said that he won't bring up Reverend Wright. So it's like, you know, he's basically throwing it out there that he's not going to bring Reverend Wright up. So he's basically saying, oh, please, liberals, don't bring up my Mormonism. I won't bring up Reverend Wright.
Well, and that's probably, and you know what, and that's a good point. And I believe that's one of the reasons why Romney will not bring up Reverend Wright or anything about, you know, the possibility of him having strong Islamic sympathies. You know, it's because, yeah, he doesn't want that to be looked at.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, Romney has a checkered past, and people, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt because he's a rich guy and he's, you know, a family guy who has kids, you know, and everything. He's, you know, a good-looking family, obviously. You know, that's what money can do for you, but that's,
oh, yeah.
You know,
but
another point.
Also,
you know, that's a point on the side, but, you know, the fact that he's gotten away with so much flip-flopping, corruption, you know, whatever you may, you know, find on him, the fact that he's getting away with it just baffles me.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's one website I like to go to, and, you know, it's www.massresistance.com/Romney, you know, mm-hmm. because it does tell a lot of things about, you know, the gay marriage issue and, you know, what, you know, the fact that, you know, how much money he's given to the people who endorsed him before they had his endorsement, you know, things of that nature. So, mm-hmm. you know, but we're not, I mean, we're not trying to, I mean, I can't emphasize this enough because I've had people saying, oh, well, I'm trying for an Obama victory. No, we are not trying.
No.
I mean, I want a you know, Obama defeat. And this is what I think Republicans ought to do that. I think they need to look at history, you know, look at what is going to come out about Romney. And I'm not necessarily, I mean, I know some people are like, oh, well, you know, you're being a bigot when you're talking about his Mormonism. I really don't focus on, you know, Romney's Mormonism, but I don't think the people who do, I don't think they're religious bigots or anything like that. I think all they're trying to do is illustrate, you know, what, you know, they think the Obama administration is going to try to use against Romney after the convention. You know, that's when they're going to really hammer him because, you know, after the convention, folks, you know, we're pretty much, we're stuck.
We're locked in with them.
And yeah, I think that to ensure a Obama victory, we need to have someone who could beat him. And Romney is not it. I think these poll numbers you see today would be so much different. It feels like a Newt Gingrich, you know, for me. You know, for others, I know they say, you know, like Ron Paul, you know, and I still think even if it was Ron Paul, obviously we don't have the numbers to prove it, but I do know that the conservatives and the libertarians would be so much more supportive of a Romney or a Paul candidate by far. A new or a Ron Paul by far than a Romney, and that's where you can get the and it's history. It's history. Brokered conventions, okay, or should I say, when there's not a brokered convention, okay, and the candidate who is the nominee voted in on the first ballot and is not a They lose. McCain, Dole, you know, those are the most recent. I could go on. You know, I can go further. You know, but the most, and also look at them. You know, they're moderates. I mean, moderates don't win general elections either.
Look at 92.
Yeah. Look when George Bush Sr. ran from the middle in order to compete against Clinton. Here's the thing. Don't you find this interesting? Here's what I find interesting, is that when you have a Democrat like Clinton running from the center, they win elections. Clinton's an example of that. Now, if you look at this is where I think the RNC is misguided. They think that, well, hey, I mean, I'm speculating here, of course, but yeah, I can imagine them thinking, well, hey, if a Democrat can run from the middle and win, why can't a Republican? Well, because frankly,
Because the Democrat goes to the right. That's why.
Yeah, they're moving from center. Yeah, that's true. That's a very good observation. Yeah, they're actually, by going to the center, they're going right. They're moving towards the right by going to the center. Yeah, that's a very good observation.
Exactly.
That's a very good point.
I mean, that's plain and simple right there. Because they're going to the right, and because we're going to the left, people don't like that. When they go to the right, people like it.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, no, go ahead. No, as I said, you make a good... when the Republicans do it and they're moving to the left, I mean, they're just alienating the base.
Exactly.
You know, it's more accepting. And you know why that is, in my opinion?
Because conservatives have brains and liberals don't.
There you go. And I think conservatives expect more from their candidates. And I truly think that conservatives expect more from their candidates, which isn't a bad thing, than the liberals do.
Exactly.
They just expect...
Oh, God.
You know what? Conservatives, they expect their candidates to be principled. Yeah, I mean,
We have a higher standard for our candidates than the left does. We have our standard as Ronald Reagan. They have their standard as Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, or even Clinton, but, you know.
Or Clinton.
You know,
I mean, that's because of Newt Gingrich, so, you know, and they don't even think of it that way.
Right. You know, so, excuse me. So that is the path to victory, you know. It's not just me saying, you know what, you know, this really isn't based on any kind of fact. This isn't really based on any history. This isn't based on any research. But you know what? I really think it could broker convention as the way to get new. And the reason why to get victory against Obama. And the only reason why, now, if I was saying the only reason why I think a broker convention is what is needed to defeat Obama, is because I think, a broker convention could get Newt in there. Now, if I was saying, well, because I want Newt to be the nominee and not Romney, I think we should have a broker convention to have a victory in November against Obama. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying because of what I've researched in both history, okay, and both, you know, looking at current events, you know, with the polls I read earlier, that's what's telling me, okay, that we need a broker convention to have Republican history. That's not my opinion. I'm just going by fact and history, not by what I want. To people like, oh, well, you're just saying that. You're just saying a broker convention because you don't like Romney and you want Newt Gingrich. You don't want Romney. That's why you're saying broker convention. And that's why you're saying a broker convention will be a victory. No, it's because
they're partially right, actually. You know, I'll admit to that. Yeah, I don't like Romney. I want Newt Gingrich, and you know, I want to win. I mean,
oh yeah, that's true.
We're competitive people.
Well, you're right, but I'm saying that
I totally understand.
Yeah, because they're telling me, and for the audience here, they're telling me that, well, you know, I'm just saying that a broker convention works because I want my candidate. I'm saying no, I want it to work because it's been proven that it does.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has been proven that it does. Abraham Lincoln.
Exactly.
That's proven enough right there. Abraham Lincoln ended the Civil War and won the presidential election with the broker convention.
But you know what argument you're going to get about that? Well, that happened back in 1860-something or whatever. You know you're going to hear
matter.
That. I haven't heard it yet, but it's coming.
Tell them. It doesn't matter. It's still part of United States history. I don't care how old it is.
But... Exactly, and that is important, but what I think that's even more telling than that is you know, look at the defeats. You know, the defeat is opposite of victory. Mm-hmm. And if you want victory, you know, and you only show defeat, well then, what do they call it when you do the same thing over and over again but expect a different result? What's that the definition for? Insanity. Insanity. Well, insanity is doing the same thing but expecting a different result. Okay? So the RNC...
I thought I was a moron.
Well, yeah, hey, insane moron, sure. But, you know... It's, you know, pretty much the same thing, but and that's the RNC. They're being morons. Hello?
Exactly.
If you keep thinking that you're going to put a moderate Republican up and propping a moderate Republican up, do you still think, even after all this history, that you're going to win? That's pretty moronic. That's pretty insane. Not, you know, I'm not saying they're crazy, but I'm saying their idea is crazy. That, well, you know what? We know all this history, but heck, people hate Obama so much. So they fear him, and they're using that fear. Think about that. There's people like, well, I'm angry. Well, yeah, you should be angry. You should be angry at the RNC. You should be angry at the establishment. And you should be angry at them, okay? Because they're using you know, all these people saying, you know, you know, about all the, you know, the fear. They're using the fear against you, you know. Of course, now people are going to come back. See, I always think about whether people are going to respond when I say something. Oh, well, you're just going to say what Al Gore said about Bush. You're playing in our fears. Well, you know, what do you think they're doing? What do you think they're doing?
They're playing scare tactics with you.
Yeah, and they want to be so afraid of the guy, which, and believe me, I want Obama to lose, as I said.
Yeah, I am afraid. I'm afraid of his radicalism. I'm afraid of his radicalism, but I feel as if the candidate that they're putting up is not going to be the one who wins.
And he's not.
Plain and simple.
You're not going to defeat Obama. Yeah, they're not going to defeat Obama with Romney.
No, especially because the guy who went up against him last time, McCain, beat Romney.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, Romney went up against McCain and lost. McCain went up against Obama and lost. So why do you think the guy who couldn't even beat McCain can beat Obama? And
well,
what
because,
doing
you know,
is,
and you know, to refer into your point of you like hearing what people would say after, well, this time around we've had 4 years of Obama, so we know
okay.
exactly what it's like to have Obama. It's like, okay, and yet the race is how close still?
Right, I'm going
to... You know, to be as bad as he is and the race is still this close?
That's true, yeah, exactly, as those numbers I read tonight, and I'll reiterate them. But one thing, hold on a second, Kevin, one thing I like to do on the show is I really like to bring in the comments that people also ask in the chat.
Oh, yeah,
on because, you know, like that's one thing I like about Blog Talk Radio is that even if people don't want to come in to chime in, they can also, you know, do it through chat, and I like to address them as well. So I see someone in here, Bob USMC. And if I am correct, USMC, I believe he's saying that he is a United States Marine Corps. And
mm-hmm.
seeing that, and if I am correct in reading that, I would like to personally put out my thank you and appreciation for your service to this country, Bob. So I really appreciate your service as a U.S. Marine Corps, either currently in there or a veteran. So thank you very much for your service. And I'd like to speak on what he put in the chat. He says, Obama... biggest thief in world history. I can agree with that. I got no problem with that statement. None whatsoever.
He what?
It says Obama is the big. It says Obama slash biggest thief in world history. It says yes.
Oh,
USMC,
yeah.
Thanks for you're very welcome, sir. You're very welcome. You just tell me that yes, indeed, he was a USMC vet. Thank you very much. Again, so yeah, but let me speak to that, guys. Is that yes? Oh yeah, I agree with that. I got no problem with that statement. This is Obama. I'm number four. I don't know. Okay, I must not have heard that. This is Obama. I'm number four. And if Bob, if you'd like to elaborate that, I'd really appreciate it. But let me speak on that about Obama. Yeah, I can agree with that. And that's part of this episode tonight is we want, you know, the people here, you know, I want, you know, the host here, I want Obama to lose. I do. And I'm hearing so many people saying, well, get behind Romney, and Romney, no, he won't. Here's the thing. I truly think this. I truly believe this. Even if all the conservatives got behind Romney, I still think Romney would still lose because there's that very important independent. And once the media and the Obama campaign, they're putting out all this other stuff about Romney and really attacking him, when the independents see that ideologically, when Romney's record is vetted, ideologically, you know, and through their record, there's not any difference. Yeah, Obama, the man, will be replaced with a Romney victory. However, an Obama ideology will not be, because there's not that much difference in record and ideology between Obama and Romney. Look at Romney said, look at his record. I know what Romney is saying now. I know what Romney has been saying while he has been running for president for 6 years. But that's not the true Romney. He's a pretender. He's pretending to be a conservative when we know he is not.
Not even the last 6 years, Robert.
He
was writing articles in USA Today, writing about Obamacare. That was 2 years ago.
Okay, with the gentleman's Bob USMC, you know, said Obama actually said he was the fourth best pres ever in an interview some months ago, and he's going to try to find the link to the video for you. Well, thank you very much, Bob. I really appreciate that. If you find it, go ahead and put it in there. Now, while I can't play it tonight, however, I can play it on another evening, and if you'd like to come back, I would definitely do that. And perhaps, you know, after looking at the video, it might make its way to the website I've just published tonight, and perhaps I can post it there as well. I just started it, so it could be a little bit, but depending on the video, I might be able to integrate it in there. He said it on 60 Minutes. Okay.
Romney or Obama? I mean
Obama. Well, what I can do, what I can do, Bob, is excuse me, is that I can, you know what, I'm going to make myself a note here to look that up. And it was on 60 Minutes video. And I'll just put fourth best president ever, because that, I'm sure that'll make it either on YouTube or, you know, or the 60 Minutes website itself. Fourth best president. Right. You know, he's probably I would contend, the worst president this country has ever had. You know what I mean? I think he's probably the worst. I mean, Jimmy Carter's probably, I think, like, oh, my gosh, he's building one of those Habitat for Humanity houses, and he's probably like, oh, my gosh, thank you for Obama. Now I'm not the worst president in U.S. history, or at least recent, modern U.S. history, you know?
Now I have to tell my daughter, Amy, to go and, you know, tell people that I'm, you know, the worst president in United States history.
Yeah, you said it, come on. You said it pretty much like you. Yeah, I tried to do an Al Gore. Voice. But, you know,
God, Al Gore.
I am Al Gore. Man. But anyway, I digress. And yes, I mean, I think he's the worst president. I want him to lose, you know, but a broken
he makes
the way to do it.
Yep. He makes Jimmy Carter look like a conservative. That's how radically liberal this man is. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, he is the most radical president in United States history. You know, and I'm with everybody when they say they don't want 4 years of Obama. Four more years. I don't either. You know, that's why I'm against Romney.
Right. Well, and, you know, I've been saying this since the very beginning. And I'm going to reiterate what I've got here for the new listeners. Is I have an electoral college map.
Hello.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm definitely having some technical difficulties here. I apologize, and hopefully Kevin can call back into the chat. Now, what I've got, I mean, to the line. So what I've got here is an electoral college map. The computer here will let me pull it up because I'm operating on a dinosaur. So let me pull that. But anyway, what it is, there it is a map where what I did is I took the polls, the current polls. It's an averaging poll. And I took whoever won in the poll, whoever was ahead in the poll, I extrapolated that information and I put it in the I put it on this map so we could kind of get a gauge of what the count is. Well, right now, the count, you need 270 electoral college votes to win. If the election was held today, Obama would have 328 electoral college, and Newt Gingrich, I'm not going to finish, yeah, he'd have 328. No, Romney has 210. That's not my speculation. That's not my, you know, I'm taking these numbers, and I'm extrapolating them, putting them into this map, and that's where they come up to, okay? And two of those states that are blue right now are Ohio and which is Ohio and Florida. So they're both looking blue right now. So, wow. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of links here. Okay, let's see if I can pull this up and hope it doesn't. Okay, great. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to view this later. It's only have 3 minutes. So what I'm going to do is thank you very much for Kevin coming on to the show tonight. And I'd like to thank everyone who came in this evening and came into the chat, who will come in the archives later. I appreciate, once again, Bob USMC for your support of the country through your military service. Thank you again. I hope to see you in here again. And I have the link up, and I'll check the video out later, and I really appreciate your contribution. So what I like to do is I'll end this show like I end all the shows. And I have a audio clip that I'd like to play some music of Aubrey Ashburn. And you'll also be able to hear the song with the lyrics on my website, the Bard's Logic Political Talk, the website. And here you go. And thank you, everybody, again. Take care and have a good night.